Praise God. Amen. It's cold outside. Doesn't have to be inside. Good to see you, stranger. You're very welcome. Even though you do take the back seat. We should bring that up for you. Would that help? Okay. Are you sure I can shout louder? Louder than normal. Amen. Amen. Let's come to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We've been dealing with this closet of prayer. You know, I hope we've already seen in these Wednesday nights that this closet of prayer, it's broader, it's deeper, it means more than maybe we thought a few months ago. I hope that this issue of the closet of prayer, or the secret place of prayer, or private and personal prayer, it's taken on a realm and a depth, it's taken on a fullness that you maybe didn't think it had before. I believe one of the great issues of this hour in the Church of Jesus Christ is the prayer closet, or the closet of prayer. Christ talked about this. He revealed how we're to pray. And this closet of prayer is vital to prayer. Public prayer is not enough. There is a place of private prayer, and Christ knew the reality of it. He was often in the closet of prayer. Let's read from Matthew 6. My message tonight is paying your debts in the prayer closet. Paying your debts in the prayer closet. Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 6. But thou, little simple words are very powerful. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, your closet. Very personal. You have a closet. It doesn't belong to anyone else. Your closet. There is a place of prayer, a closet of prayer, a secret realm of prayer that doesn't belong to others. It is very specifically your closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, whose is the door? It's your door, not somebody else's door. It doesn't belong to them. They cannot shut that door. This is a door only you can shut. It's your prayer closet. It's your door. It's your prayers. All of this is very personal and very intimate. And he says, when you go in, shut thy door. It's your door to shut, and it's your responsibility to shut the door. You must shut the door. Pray to, and I'm so glad that this is personal, pray to thy Father. Aren't you glad about that tonight? He is your Father. It's one thing to have your prayer and your closet and your door, but I want to tell you tonight, He is your Father. I know He's every believer's Father, but He is your Father tonight. Very intimately, very personally. And you know, when we go into that secret place of prayer, don't just think generally, He is our Father. He is your Father, very personally and very specifically. And it says, pray to thy Father. He's your Father tonight. Very intimately, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. Isn't that wonderful tonight? He knows before you can even ask. He knows even before you have the need. He even knows before it comes to you that I ought to pray unto my Heavenly Father. He knows everything. He knows all these things in a greater way than even you know. When ye pray, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Father, we just thank you for your word again that we can gather as your body. We so love you. We're so grateful that you're our heavenly Father. We're so grateful that we can come here and pray and gather unto you as our Father, that we can cry out even at night, Abba, Father, you care about our bread on the table. You care that our sins are forgiven. Lord God, you have a desire tonight. Lord God, that anything, any issue of the heart, any word of the mouth, any thought of the mind would be forgiven, absolutely forgiven, not in the eyes of man, but before you. You have a desire that we come into the prayer closet forgiven. You desire that we gain a victory and pray through to absolute forgiveness in that closet. And my God, you want our hearts to be free from every unforgiveness. You are our heavenly Father, and we love you. My God, what a debt you paid for us. Lord God, what a forgiveness that you've given unto us, that all of our sins are absolutely forgiven, washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Lord God, open our eyes tonight as we approach the prayer closet, even tomorrow morning, every day that we come into that prayer closet, that we'll come with an awareness of our sins forgiven, that we are absolutely forgiven, that you've cancelled our debt, that we're absolutely free, that you don't remember any of our sins. My God, that we might come boldly under the throne of grace. In Jesus' name, help us tonight as we hear your word. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, and we're dealing with paying your debts in the prayer closet. Paying your debts in the prayer closet. Matthew 6 verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then verse 14 says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now here in these verses, we have Christ teaching his disciples how to pray. Remember, he taught them how not to pray. And then he taught them how to pray. And he's given us the Lord's Prayer as a means to help us, that we would understand the mind of God in prayer. We would understand the heart of God in prayer. The very spirit of prayer is going to be in our prayers. Not that we recite a prayer, but that this becomes the overwhelming principle of how to pray. We see here in Matthew chapter 6 that as he teaches the Lord's Prayer, he very specifically teaches them how to pray, but he only returns to one point. After giving them the way to pray, or how to pray, and a part of that prayer is daily. Remember, this is a prayer. Daily. Lord, give me my daily bread. Every day we can pray. You know, God doesn't want you to worry about things. In that part of the prayer, praying, Father, give us our daily bread. Do you know why he wants you to pray that daily? That you will not worry. He doesn't want you filled with anxiety. He doesn't want you worried. He doesn't want you stressed. He doesn't want you carrying the burdens of tomorrow and of next year and of next week. He doesn't want you carrying all the burdens of the world. Therefore, he says, look, when you come into the prayer closet, pray every day, Father, give me my daily bread. He doesn't want you worried about the things of this life. He wants to carry the responsibility. He wants to carry you, saints of God. He is your heavenly Father, and he is waiting for you to cast all of your care on him, because he cares for you. You can take all of your anxiety, all the things that pull your mind in two directions at the same time, you take all of them and you cast them upon him. Why does he teach us to pray daily for our bread, that we won't worry? But then again, also he says, pray that your sins be forgiven? Why does he daily want us to go to the Father and say, Father, forgive me this day, today, this morning? Why is it that he encourages us to pray about forgiveness? It's because he doesn't want us entering into prayer or walking through the day with a sense of guilt or a sense of condemnation or a sense of fear to approach him. He doesn't want that. He actually daily wants to remove all guilt, all condemnation, all fear, or any intrepidation or anything that would hinder us in our fellowship with him or in our confidence that God is going to answer our prayer. So we see, he says, pray like this because I don't want you carrying guilt around with you. I don't want you to carry it into tomorrow. Start the day by saying, Father, forgive me of my sins. He wants you to come with such a heart. Don't enter into the day. Don't go off to work. Don't go to college. Don't go in amongst family without having settled that. But thirdly, there's another point here. He actually teaches us that we are to forgive others. Now why is it in this realm of prayer, he wants our heart free from any unforgiveness to others? He wants our heart free from resentment. So he says, pray for your daily bread that you're not carrying worry into that prayer closet and through the day. Pray for your own personal forgiveness so you're not carrying guilt into the day. But also make sure in that prayer closet that you're forgiven everyone. There's no unforgiveness, no resentment, no anger in your heart towards anybody. Because he doesn't want you carrying that into your day. If you want to hinder your fellowship with God, just allow unforgiveness to be in your heart. One of the major aspects of the prayer closet is forgiveness. This realm of forgiveness is a major teaching concerning the prayer closet. It is actually fundamental to prayer. Your forgiveness and your forgiveness of others is fundamental to your personal life of prayer. This can absolutely undermine your life of prayer. If you go out into the day with a sense of guilt, condemned about your sin, the devil accusing you of your sins, and yet you sit under that, I can assure you, your prayer life is undermined. Imagine coming into the presence of God, not sure that you're fully cleansed, not sure that you're fully forgiven, with a sense of condemnation. Your heart condemns you. Believe me, the devil will make you in that closet of prayer to remind you of your sins. This issue of forgiveness is fundamental and vital to the whole issue of prayer. The first and fundamental thing is that forgiveness is the basis of all prayer. If you don't know your sins are forgiven, you cannot pray. The very basis of prayer is that you've been born again, that your sins have been forgiven, that Jesus has washed your sins away, that he has paid the absolute ultimate price for the one thing that hinders you coming to pray. That is absolutely fundamental. If a man doesn't know he's a Christian, how can he ask God the Father to do anything? How can he come with his daily needs or his burdens or his cares or his concerns? How can he do that if he doesn't fundamentally know that he's a forgiven saint, that he's a redeemed saint, that he's born again? If he doubts his salvation, how is he going to pray about the things alive? If the devil has undermined his confidence or his assurance of salvation, his prayer life is going to be hindered because now all of his prayer is going to be about him, about his eternal state and not about the kingdom of God. How are you going to pray? Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on the earth if you're so concerned about your own sin. So we've got to see that forgiveness is vital to this issue of prayer. When you go to your prayer closet, your forgiveness is fundamental to it. It's absolutely basic to it. Notice here that Christ teaches in the Lord's Prayer in verse 12, and forgive us our debts. That means a Christian can stand in need of forgiveness. Yes, he was forgiven when he got born again. All of his sins were blotted out. But here a Christian can have an issue arise in his heart or his mind or his life. An issue of unforgiveness. A genuine born again Christian can have something come up in his life that becomes what Jesus calls a debt to the Father. Now what is a debt? It's something that you owe. It's something that you've neglected to pay. It's something that you've fallen short on. In the next verses, he actually says that these debts are called trespasses. The word trespass literally means to miss the mark. You've aimed at something, but you miss it. You've gone off track. You've deviated from where you should have been walking. That's what a debt is. And he's saying here that in the life of a Christian, you can have debts. You can have an issue of unforgiveness, even though you're born again. Even though you know Jesus and you love him. You could be, in this morning you could wake up, or tonight you could walk in here and actually have a condition in your heart of unforgiveness. And by that I mean is that there's an issue undealt with between you and God. Yes, you know that you got born again. That doesn't undermine it. No, believe me, if you do something, say something, or you allow sin to come into your heart or an attitude, I assure you one of the first things to begin to crumble is assurance of salvation. You begin to ask questions. And it's not that you're not saved. It's the mercy of God. Because he knows when a child of God begins to say, "Oh God, am I right with you?" You're going to run back to the closet again to say, "Father, forgive me of my sins. I want nothing between you and me." You see, when we stand in need of forgiveness, there's only one thing to do. It shouldn't keep you from the prayer closet. An issue in your heart or a failure should not keep you out of the prayer closet. The devil will try to keep you out of the prayer closet. He doesn't want you in prayer. But notice here that in the prayer closet is the very place where we pray, "Father, forgive me of my debts." We don't stay out of prayer. We actually come to prayer to receive forgiveness. It's in the prayer closet that we deal with undealt issues. You see, the devil will try to condemn you and say, "The Father won't listen to you. The Father won't let you into his presence. You don't even feel him this morning. How could you come before the Father when you have done that, when you have said that, when you have thought that? How could you come?" You've got to respond by saying, "I'm here to ask him to forgive me. He's invited me to come. Christ taught me that I'm to come into the prayer closet, shut the door, get that voice out, shut out all the clamor. And when I get down on my knees, Father, if I've committed any sin, if there's any undealt with issue, if there's anything in my heart, Father, will you forgive me?" Do you think he'll deny you? No way. Our God is a God who actually teaches us, "I want you to pray daily, Father, forgive me." I want you to actually come praying. What does the word "forgive" here mean? Remember what it means. It means to let go, to lay aside, or to utterly cancel out. What are you asking the Father to do? "Father, forgive. Cancel it out. Utterly set it aside. Father, let it go." That means a genuine believer before God the Father, if he has an issue in the heart, God doesn't just ignore it. That is actually an issue. Do you realize your fellowship is affected by sin, by what we do, how we act, how we think? It does affect our fellowship. But he says, "I want you to come and ask forgiveness." And I don't ignore things in your life. I don't just say, "Well, you're forgiven, you don't need to come to me." How do we get forgiven? We repent. We repent, we confess our sin, we turn from our sin. John writes in 1 John 1 and 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light," what does that mean? It means to be walking in the teaching of the Bible. We want to walk in it, we want to live our life in it. We have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Who's he talking about? Christians. believers who are in fellowship with one another. Do we need a fresh cleansing of the blood? Yes. Yes, we do. In verse 9 he says, if we confess our sins. Can a Christian have sins? Yes. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive a little bit of our sin. Is that right? He is faithful and just to think about forgiving our sin, to consider it or to take it into thought and consideration over the next days. No, he says he is faithful. In other words, you can rely on him. Do you want God the Father to forgive you? Then he will forgive you. Do you ask him to forgive you? Do you confess your sin? Are you grieving over your sin? Do you think God puts you on a conditional basis for the next week? Do you think he puts you on trial to see how you are, how good you are over the next week? He says, when you confess your sin, when you ask forgiveness, he forgives you. He blots it out. He cancels it out. He sets the issue aside. It's no longer an issue. God the Father says, it's no longer going to come up. I won't remind you of it. We won't be dealing with that again. It's forgiven. It's forgiven. I have forgiven you. And if God forgives you, how can the devil raise it up? Or how can you go in circles about it? God the Father forgives you. And he cleanses you. And he makes you clean. He doesn't just forgive you and leave you as you are. He makes you clean, saints, in the blood of the Lamb. He doesn't want you coming to the prayer closet guilty, condemned, stammering, fearful, worried. He actually wants you to come with boldness. He wants you to have a confidence in prayer. Again, in 1 John 3 it says, for if our heart condemn us, talking about the Christian, can your heart condemn you? Is it possible that things happen where you feel your own heart, not others, not even the devil, but your own heart condemning you? You feel condemned in your own heart. Well, John deals with this. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Thank God it's not our own hearts or even our own conscience that is the standard. It is God who is greater than our own heart. Your own heart might be condemning you, and yet God is greater than your heart, and he knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Notice this. Look what a man looks like who has a clear heart, who knows he's been forgiven, who isn't condemned as he approaches unto God. Look what he's like. He says, we have confidence towards God. Then in verse 22, he says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. It's got to do with prayer. It's got everything to do with this issue of prayer. Condemnation and prayer are not good bedfellows. They don't mix well together. To be in a state of condemnation affects your prayer life. And saints, God the Father doesn't want that. When you pray, when you close the closet door and get into your closet, pray unto him, Father, forgive me. Will you forgive me? He's saying here, you can settle the issue. Don't let it go to the night. The Bible's very clear. It says, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. In other words, if you're angry or you've got an issue with someone, don't put your head in the pillow without settling it. Even if you have to shake them and wake them up in the middle of the night, if it's a family member, do it. Don't part and wait until the morning. Do it tonight before you put your head on the pillow, but also with your father. Why would you go to bed without having things settled? Don't let things go to the morning. Settle it tonight before you go to bed. I'm forgiven. I am covered over. You know, I got a wonderful voicemail this morning of a certain man in this church singing, I am covered over by the blood of Jesus Christ. I won't mention any names. And I just listened and I thought, Melacha. What a wonderful voicemail. I think that's the best song I ever received in a voicemail in all my life. And you know, I had a laugh. I'm sitting there and I'm going, what a blessing to have someone sing that. What a joy, saints. My sins are forgiven. I'm covered in the blood of the Lamb. My debts are all forgiven. And God the Father, He wants my sin forgiven. He wants to forgive me. Are you in doubt that the Father wants to forgive you? You can very easily move to works and trying to work your way back. Does the Bible say, if there's an issue in your heart or something has come up, well, you're going to have to work your way back into my presence. You're going to have to be put in trial to see if you walk perfectly this week. Then you can come to prayer. What it says is, ask forgiveness. Ask me to forgive you. That's the requirement. You don't earn your way back. You come by way of Calvary and say, Father, forgive me. And the fellowship is restored. You don't work at it. You don't try to earn it. You don't try to stir it up. It's by the blood. Only the blood can give you access to the Heavenly Father. You're nothing. None of you deserve to be in prayer. None of you deserve to ask Him anything. But it's the blood has given you a relationship where you can say, my Father, you are my Heavenly Father.
Amen.
You can come boldly on that basis. Forgiveness has everything to do with the prayer closet. The state of your heart and the state of your standing before God, or your state before God, has everything to do with the prayer closet. But notice here, he goes further than merely talking about you being forgiven or asking the Father to forgive you. Or the title of our message is paying your debts in the prayer closet. How do debts get paid in the prayer closet? You see, he goes further and he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 12. As we forgive our debtors. Isn't it amazing that of all the things the Christ taught us to pray about, the glory of His kingdom, His will to be done on the earth, being delivered from evil, not being led into temptation, He bypasses all of these things and comes to this issue of forgiveness. This is the only thing after He teaches the Lord's Prayer. The only thing he comes back to expand on and teach on more, is this issue of forgiveness and of forgiving others. Forgiving others, or our attitude towards others, our brother, our people in around us. This issue of us forgiving others is so vital to prayer. It can shipwreck your prayer. It can hinder your prayer. Your attitude to someone else can hinder your prayer. Your actual unforgiveness to another person could affect God forgiving you that morning. If you're in a state in which you will not forgive someone that morning, you're actually messing and playing games with asking, Father, forgive me. How can you come with the boldness and say, Father, forgive me, if you're not willing to forgive someone? How do you tie that together? If you're not willing to forgive someone, you actually praying, Father, forgive me, is hypocrisy. You're playing a game. You want to receive what you will not give to somebody else. You want to receive the majesty of God's forgiveness, but you don't give a little bit of this portion of forgiveness away. You have learned very little about the grace of God. Notice here it says, as we forgive our debtors. The actual Greek means, as we have already forgiven. He is saying, as you have already forgiven others, so I will forgive your debts. He's saying, as you come praying, as you've forgiven others, then you can pray and ask your Father to forgive you. Why pray and say, forgive me? Lord, I was wrong. I have done wrong. When you resent others in that position, if you cannot forgive somebody who you can see, do you really think you can receive forgiveness from someone you cannot see? If you don't have a heart of forgiveness, why would you think that you can receive forgiveness? The actual Greek means, as you're in our prayer closet about to ask for forgiveness, you've been careful to make sure your own heart is free. You don't want to play games. You want to be sure that you've forgiven everyone. Can I ask you tonight, is there anybody you have an issue towards in this room? Do you have a hard attitude that rises up? Oh, maybe not all the time. When you're feeling really spiritual, it's not there. But as soon as you get alone and you go to pray, that person, that issue arises. An attitude of vengeance. There's things you want to tell them. There's things you want to put straight. There's issues that they have done to you and you want to make it very clear. There's a grating feeling in your soul and in your spirit every time you think about them. You see, if we cannot forgive others, why ask to be forgiven ourselves? It is all connected. And Christ teaches it here that one of the major things of the prayer closet is this issue of our attitude towards others. It's very fundamental. Have we forgiven others is very fundamental to our prayer life. If you cannot forgive others, it's going to affect your prayer life. It'll undermine your prayer life. Christ is showing us a way to walk in freedom. You can actually, if you're willing to forgive others, you can come and say, Father, forgive me. If you as a human, as a frail, weak human affected by a flesh life, if you can forgive someone, you are going to believe that God can forgive you. If you in your utter imperfection can say, I release them, I forgive them, I cancel out any debt. You see, what is a debt? It says, forgive our debtors. Who are the debtors? It says, because these are the ones you're to forgive. What about my brother who's always nice and I love so much? What about, he always does the right thing for me. He's not my debtor. I don't have any attitude towards him. I love him. It's wonderful to be in fellowship with him. He never stands on my feet. He never grates me the wrong way. He never says anything to me. He never hurts me. Never offends me. That's not my debtor. That is not my debtor. He's not talking about that person. Oh, I can forgive them. I know you can. I know you can. Who couldn't? Yeah. If you only love those who love you and do you good, your love isn't very great. What about this love towards those that do you wrong? Your love isn't measured by how you love those who do you good all the time. I'm just doing them as they do to me. Well, that could be law. You could be living under the law. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. They love me, I'll love them. They hate me, I'll hate them. You're under law. That isn't grace. That is not grace. But notice he says, forgive our debtors. When you come to the prayer closet, have you already forgiven your debtors? Who are the debtors? They've done something on you. Or they've neglected to do things that they ought to have. Or they've hurt you. Or they've offended you. Or they've spoken about you. Do you have anyone on the list, saints? I do. I've got some list, I can assure you. If I didn't deal with that list, it would destroy my walk with God. I have a very long list of people who've hurt me, talked about me, spoken wrongly, lied, slandered, done all manners of things. I've got a very long list. If I don't deal with that, I will never get into the prayer closet. It's going to cripple my life. It'll make me bitter. It'll give me such an attitude that God cannot answer my prayers. Do you realize if you don't deal with that, God cannot answer your prayers? Don't pray about God's will. Don't pray for his blessing. Don't pray for him to move in the meetings. Don't pray for his kingdom to come in the earth. What about your heart? What about his will being done in your heart? Which is that you forgive others. God does want you to forgive others. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And in this chapter, we have Peter speaking to Christ. This was an especially spiritual day for Peter. Peter was in the presence of Christ. Peter was on a high cloud on this day. And in verse 21, Peter speaking to Christ. Remember he said before, Master, how many times should I forgive? The master said 7 times. So Peter's learnt the theology, now knows how to do this. Peter comes to Christ and he says, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? Notice it's a brother. How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Very spiritual today, aren't you, Peter? Peter is saying, if my brother sins against me seven times, or seven times in a day, will I forgive him that many times? No, Christ goes further. Jesus said unto him, verse 22, I say unto thee, until seven times seven. In other words, 77 times. No, you don't forgive your brother seven times. 77 times. Saints, can I ask you, if someone came and they stood before you 77 times, they've hurt you, they've offended you, they've spoken about you, but they come before you, they're a Christian, and they say, will you forgive me? I was wrong. I'm sorry. Would you forgive them? I'm not asking what your men are doing. I'm not asking what the Bible says. I am asking, would you forgive them? This was the dilemma. Peter, don't think you're strange. This was Peter's dilemma. Oh, I've forgiven them seven times. Well, let's up the stake 77 times. Peter, I want you to forgive John 77 times. Thomas, I want you to forgive him 77 times. If he stands before you, but he mightn't be sincere. Well, you don't know, do you? You can only respond. If he comes and says, forgive me, I'm sorry, I've done you wrong. He's not ignoring it. He's not denying it. You're to forgive him. What does forgive mean? You cancel it out. You let go of the issue. Is there anything you're holding on to tonight? Is there anything deep in there that rises up in prayer against someone, concerning someone, and you go, there's that issue? Well, you're under responsibility either to go to them or to forget it. You've got to be free of it. Absolutely free in your heart. Notice here that Christ then gives a parable. It says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which took account of his servants. Who is Christ? He's the Father. That's who the king is. And he has taken account of all of his servants, all of his children, all of his people. In other words, he's looking at their spiritual condition. Are they in a right state before me? Is there any undealt with unforgiveness in their heart? This is Christ teaching Peter. Notice, follow the story. Verse 24. It says that when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which had owed him 10,000 talents. Now notice this. Here is one man and he's owing 10,000 talents. And it says that the king, for as much as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold. And his wife. You see, his debt was so great, he was going to have to be sold. And his children and his wife, everything was going to be broken up. His debt was so great, he could never pay it. His wife was going to have to be sold. He would never see her again. She would never be free again. His debt led to all of this. His debt was so great. Do you realize there's people in Limerick tonight, their debt of sin against God is so great that their marriage is broken up, that their life is in disaster, that things have happened to their children because of the debt of their sin. You see, the debt was hanging over them and they could not pay it. They're standing in their sin and it's so great it has wrecked everything. That was the debt of their personal sin. That was the condition of their heart. And Christ says there was a man like this. He owed 10,000 talents. It says, therefore this servant fell down. What would you do? You can't pay this bill. You don't have anything. He fell down and he worshipped the king and he said, have patience with me. He said, I will pay you, have patience. And you know what it says? The king had compassion on him and was moved in his heart. And notice what it says at the end of verse 27. He forgave him his debt. 10,000 talents. And he just forgave. His heart's moved with compassion. Look at him. Look at this man. He's fallen down before the king. And he's begging. It's everything's over for him. He cannot pay the debt. What does the king do? The king is moved with compassion. And he says, it's over. I've cancelled out the debt. You don't need to pay it. Do you know what Jesus goes on to say? This man left the presence of the king and he met a servant, another man who owed him only 100 pence. And he took him and he shook him and he took him by the throat and he says, now I want that money. You need to pay. And he says, give me time. Have patience with me. And he said, no. And he delivered him to the prison. And you know, people looking on at this, at these two men, when they heard, they went to the king and told him all that happened. 10,000 talents to 100 pence. Now listen to me carefully, because we're dealing with forgiveness and the vitalness of prayer. Can I put this in today's terms? What is 100 pence? Here's a man owing 100 pence, and he would not have compassion or mercy or forgive his brother. Remember what Jesus is teaching. He's teaching Peter to forgive your brother. Your brother does something on you, forgive him. Release him, cancel it out, forget it, get it out of your mind, get it out of your heart. Don't have it in the prayer closet. And he gives this example. Who is the man who owes 100 pence? He's your brother. He owes you 100 pence, but you don't forgive him. Do you know how much 100 pence is? Now listen carefully for a minute. Because we want to compare the debts here. The man who owes 100 pence, 1 pence was a silver coin, usually weighing about 4 grams. That 1 coin or 1 pence was actually the equivalent of 1 soldier's wage for a day. A Roman soldier earned 1 pence, or 1 silver coin weighing 4 grams every single day. That's 1 pence. So that means that 100 pence would be the equivalent of 100 days of work. Maybe a third of a year. Okay, follow me carefully. That is the equivalent. If we thought of an Irishman who earned 100 euros every day, he's a good working man. He gets 100 euros every single day. In 100 days, to pay off his debt would be the equivalent of 10,000 euro. Here is a man who owes his brother 10,000 euro. And he's going to have to work 100 days straight without Sundays or Saturdays off. No break. No days off, brother, for the next 100 days. And you're going to have to work from morning to night, and it's a very well paid job. It'll take you 100 days to pay off your debt, or to get enough money to pay your debt. What's 10,000 talents? We want to compare this, because Christ taught this as a lesson to us. What's 10,000 talents? Well, first of all, what's 1 talent? So we get the equivalent. 1 talent was usually made of gold or silver. It weighed about 33 kilograms. The 1 pence weighed 4 grams. 1 talent weighs 33 kilograms. It was actually the equivalent of a Roman soldier working 6,000 days or 16 years. 1 talent. Is the equivalent of a soldier working 16 years. But it says 10,000 talents. Not 1 talent. Not 16 years. 10,000 times 16 years. If it was just 16 years he was working for, or 1 talent, it would be 600,000 euros. But do you know what this debt was for this man? The actual debt, if we carried it over to our equivalent, would be 600 million euro debt. Here is a man, and he's come before the king. The king says, you owe me 600 million euros. And if you don't pay it now, I'm going to throw you in prison. I'm going to sell your wife. I'm going to sell your children, and it's all over for you. 600. Saints, think about it tonight in this room. You do owe a debt. You did owe a debt. To God the Father, your debt was equivalent to this. Give me 600 million euro now, and your debt is cancelled. If you can't pay it right now, you're being thrown in prison. That man fell down and asked for mercy. He said, be patient with me. Do you know what the king done? Cancelled out the debt. 600 million. And because his heart's moved with compassion, he says, it's forgiven. It's cancelled out. I'll never be brought up again. I'm not going to change my mind in a week. Or in a month or a year. I'm not going to change my mind on this. I'm not going to suddenly wait a year and go, now I want to raise this again. Let's bring the debt back in of 600 million. It's cancelled. It is gone. But what did this man do? He goes out and he finds the first man. He says, you owe me 10,000 euro. I've been cancelled. I have only just been cancelled of 600 million. And yet I meet a man on a street, a brother, somebody who I have known. He owes me a debt and he owed it for some time. And yet I say, if you do not pay me this now, I'm going to have you delivered to prison. You're a debtor. And you have no compassion, no mercy, and you don't forgive it. You've been forgiven of 600 million, but you won't forgive 10,000. Do you see what Christ is saying here? He's talking about a state of heart. You see, the prayer closet isn't only about how we pray, or how long we pray, or a style of prayer, or a strategy of prayer. Oh no, this is about who you are and the state of your heart. Do you know what Christ says? If you do not forgive your debtors, I won't forgive you. If you have not forgiven others, why should I forgive you tomorrow morning when you stand up and you say, Father, will you forgive me? Why should I? I have forgiven your debt at Calvary. I have cancelled out your sin. Sin that should put you in hell for all eternity. I've said, I forgive you. All you had to do was repent and ask me. You asked for me and I had compassion on you. And I forgave all of your sins. Saints, you have done enough in this room since being a Christian to drown you in a thousand seas, haven't you? And yet somebody said, they said something about me, or they bothered me, or their attitude, or how they said, or they acted like that, or they done this to me. So what? So what? If anybody, any Christian ever comes to you and say, I'm sorry, and you sit there and go, I don't know whether they mean it. How do I know they're sincere? I'll have to pray about this, whether I forgive you and let you off the hook and forget about it. Or I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. I'll be watching you. What? How have you walked before God? How should God the Father, do you realize God the Father will have an issue with you? What? I forgive all of your debts and you won't forgive this little issue. I've stopped you from going to hell for all eternity. I have cancelled a debt that should have drowned you in hell itself without mercy or hope or forgiveness. And you're sitting there going, huh, look what they done to me. Father, forgive us our debts. We have forgiven our debtors. Who's your debtor? See, tonight, forgive them. Maybe someone will do something in the coming year. Forgive them. Let it go. Oh, but I can't let it go. I won't let it go. You better. It says here in this verse, in this Matthew 6, notice what he actually says here. He says, in verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." What a promise.
Amen.
Saints, there's great blessing attached to forgiving others. When I enter into my prayer closet, I don't have anything against anyone. My heart is free. But saints, maybe you need to pray through in the prayer closet and go, "Oh God, help me. Help me. I want my heart to be free. I want a heart that's absolutely free." It's the prayer closet you get the victory in. Did not Christ have to go to Gethsemane and three times pray through to be willing to actually partake of the cup? Do you not think you need to pray through sometimes? Say, "Oh God, my attitude. Oh God, my thoughts. Help me." Yes, the prayer closet. Don't stay outside the prayer closet. Don't wait until you come in. Get into the prayer closet and say, "Oh God, I'm here to do business. I want my heart to be free. And then I'm going to ask you to forgive me and wash me and cleanse me. And I want to stand free before you tonight. Absolutely free." He also says in verse 15, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." He won't forgive you if you don't forgive others their little trespasses against you. Why should He forgive your great trespasses? Saints, He has cancelled out your $6 million debt and it's forgiven. You didn't need to earn it. You didn't work for it. You said, "Oh God, have mercy on me," and He forgave you. And when someone has done something on us, forgive. Saints, the prayer closet is a place where you pay your debts. You settle debts. You have your debts cleared and you make sure that you release others. Your heart is in a state of forgiveness. We need to keep it there. It is absolutely vital to this issue. Let's stand together. Oh my Lord. Oh, let's thank Him, saints. He has forgiven your debts. This is the basis on which you come to prayer. This is how you enter into prayer. This is how you stand before your Heavenly Father. He has forgiven your debt. You cannot earn that. You cannot win it back. He had compassion on you. You didn't earn it. You didn't pay the debt. You didn't work it off. You couldn't do that. It's impossible. He cancelled it out of pure compassion. That is your standing in the prayer closet. He has forgiven you. He has set you free. He has forgotten your sins. He has blotted them out in the blood of the Lamb. What a freedom tonight, saints. This is how you come to prayer. You're free tonight. You're absolutely free tonight. Don't let the devil condemn you. Don't let your heart condemn you. Your sins are forgiven. And He says daily, if something comes in or something arises in your life, go to Him daily and say, "Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me." What a wonderful freedom. You're free tonight. You're free tonight. You're forgiven tonight. You're set free. You're set at liberty. You're a free man and a free woman. Your debts are cancelled. And that is the heart of your Father towards you. We love you tonight, our Heavenly Father. Oh, we bless you. What a debt has been paid. My God, what a deliverance. What a forgiveness. I'm free tonight by the blood of the Lamb. You've forgiven my debt. You've set me free. My God, Christ suffered that I could go free. My God, what a wonderful salvation. And my God, tonight I pray, let that grace capture us. My God, that same mercy and love, let it lay hold of us, my God, that we might release others, that we might forgive others. We want to be absolutely free in our hearts. My God, tomorrow when we come to pray, Lord God, when we stand before you to pray, we want to be able, oh God, to say, "I'm absolutely free of anything towards anyone. My heart is free. I've let them go. I've set them free. I've forgiven every man. And that there's no one in this world who I have unforgiveness towards in Jesus' name. We bless you, wonderful Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing that. I'm covered over by the blood of Jesus. Good way to have started the morning. Good way to finish tonight.